Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we go around the cycle. What is old is new again. What is new is old again.
And it's before it was even new.
Before it was new. Before it was old. I don't know. Today's through line.
It comes out old.
A very difficult through line today with these games. Tony, they are all over the place. AAA, there's indies, there's early access, there's movie tie-ins, there's not, there's blatant rip-offs. It's just, it's all over the shop. Let's start off, though, with the most important thing.
Oh, of course.
That is, I beat Satisfactory again.
One more time.
Much more efficiently this time.
Of course.
Much cleaner solution to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just this close to just starting a new save and doing it again, but doing it even better again
even
this
better.
Time. You know,
and this time making it pink.
Oh, I could do it. I tried to change it the default factory color, but I really love the orange.
Yeah.
And so when I try something else, I go, oh, I don't like it. I'm just going back to the default orange. And then make it orange again kind of thing. Yeah. I did make a beautiful turbo fuel factory, and I colored all the machines and all the pipes and all the you know, the liquid circuits and stuff like that. So it was really easy to read and understand and stuff. Very good. I'm very, very happy with the way that whole factory plan turned out. Mm. Way better than I expected. And just like, such a clean and understandable and troubleshootable solution versus my first one, which was just like, it just involved doing more. Any problems, just do more of whatever it is and just like, it'll just fix itself at some point because you're never going to diagnose it. There was such a mishmash of ideas and whatnot. So I'm so clean. I am very, very happy.
It's the poster child for a clean factory.
Yes, yes. Oh, probably not. It's just some very. I watch other dev streams and they bring all this community stuff in there. What people do in the community. God, there's some really creative people out there. I'm just happy my factory works. So, like, I had a goal of making one of each of the four space elevator parts per minute. That's what the factory was supposed to do, and that's what it does. I'm happy. It looks pretty good. It's clean.
Speaking of crazy stuff, have you seen any of the Starfield promo stuff?
No, I've been keeping myself
on the Xbox, whatever it's called. They did a whole long Starfield promo thing, and one lady was showing off her spaceship that she's built, and she's literally built a spaceship that looks like Optimus Prime, but he doesn't move.
But
just stationary Optimus Prime, taking off and landing.
Oh, that's amazing! I didn't know you had so much control over the ships.
Yeah, you got modules that you can put on and everything.
Yeah, I guess that as soon as you do that, someone's going to get really creative with it and whatnot.
Yeah.
Someone made these blueprints in Satisfactory of like these vending machines using signs and stuff so that you could like, you know, have a for the different bits and pieces. And you're like, where did you come up with this? You know,
these people get the time to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they enjoy, I suppose. Yes, and that's what they get out of it kind of thing. Yes. So that's done. I'll try to put it down for a while and play some other things in the meantime, but we'll see how that goes. Something else that we've returned to is V Rising, which had a little patcheroony, update. They reset everyone's progress.
It
was such a big update that they rebalanced everything and pushed it back out. Been playing that. It's fun, but it's not.
That's a Metroidvania one.
No. It's a isometric keyboard and mouse.
Oh, okay.
Not Diablo, because like it's not a clicker. You got to like run with WASD and then fight, and like really a lot of it's like aiming your abilities and stuff against other things. There's no like auto lock on for attacks or anything like that.
Okay,
so it's very positional. Because what I'd say is like there's a bit of a, I think we mentioned this last time, but there's still there's a disconnect between the PvP and PvE.
Yeah,
because it's a PvP game first. Yeah. Everything is tuned and the mechanics are lacking because it's always supposed to be this PvP struggle going on in the background of you going around killing all these bosses and things like that. And so a lot of the, I don't know, we boosted all the carry, all the weight, all the rates that you gather stuff and whatnot. Yeah. I tweaked the day-night cycle, so there's only 1 hour of day per day kind of thing.
It's mostly not perpetual. Norway.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
1 hour of daylight a day.
And for 1 hour a day, you can guarantee any time you need to leave the base or go kill a boss, that will be the 1 hour of sunlight that will definitely get you every time. Every time. It's amazing, even with all that. It's having fun doing it. I just think it just lacks a bit as a PvE experience versus what you get out of PvP, again, kind of thing. I don't know. We'll play it through. We'll probably kill all the bosses and stuff and see if there's any better mechanics. Some of the bosses are quite fun to kill.
Okay.
Like they have an interesting mechanic going on with it, kind of thing. And then at the same time, it's a little bit like if you get enough gear. Well, no, you can't. You can't. You can't even really necessarily over gear things because you need to kill a boss to unlock the recipes for things. Yeah. And then you can kind of maybe squeeze in a bit, but then it locks you behind another set of research. So that you have to go and kill that boss before you unlock the research. And then you can get the recipes to sort of gear up, kind of thing. So it's very linear. There's no real deviation in how you
kill this boss, then this boss, then this boss.
Yeah, because everyone's killing the same bosses at the same sort of time-ish, so you're always competing for those bosses, and while they're fighting, you can be attacked and kind of thing. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't feel a weird one to recommend because unless I think if you enjoyed the PvP aspect, this game would have a lot going for it, and you need to play it so much to keep it on top of PvP games. You know? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's so that's the recycling of the old. Some of the new though is of course we have a bunch of AAA games popping out at the end of this year.
Yep.
Starfield, Baldur's Gate 3 and Cyberpunk.
Yep.
Coming out. Looking forward to all three of those.
Yep.
For sure. I still don't know how I feel about I've been purposely not looking at any of them.
Yep.
For the most part, like not to sort of set up any expectations for it. I'm going to play them. That's already decided. Let's just see how it goes. Have you been watching anything?
I watched the Starfield Xbox presentation because I was really interested to see what the gameplay was
I like. Did watch one. Maybe that was the same one. I watched a video of them talking
and
about Starfield.
And it looks
Starfield.
Like Andromeda and Oblivion.
Mashed together.
Had a baby.
Yeah.
That was very much Andromeda favored.
So yeah.
It looks so much like Mass Effect Andromeda, but with the Oblivion stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Certainly it put me off wanting to play it, but it also, I don't believe hype.
Oh, no. God,
thousands of planets to investigate. Yeah, but the thousands of planets are going to have one thing on them.
Yeah.
So why not give me 10 planets with 100 things on them?
That one really concerns me too because I really feel that one of the strengths of Bethesda is the world that they do in, and they cram such all a small stuff. Map with so much stuff. And I feel like it's just never going to be quite that with so much of them spread so thin.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like you could go anywhere on the planet. Is that correct? Or is there only like fixed locations on each planet?
So it's like fast travel points.
Yeah.
You learn about locations this base on this planet.
Yeah.
And then when you find that planet, that base is on your map.
Yeah.
And you can land straight on that base.
Yep.
Or you can put your cursor and say land here.
Yep.
And then as you find other things, you can quick travel and quick land.
Okay.
So,
so they're going to pull you at least to the spots that they've spent time and doing things on them and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. I'm very skeptical of, it's going to be buggy on release.
I'm expecting to be like Fallout. If it's as good as Fallout 4, Fallout 3, I'll be happy.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to building the spaceship. That's what I'm looking forward to. So.
Yeah, you were saying that someone like made a bloody Optimus Prime looking spaceship, which is just, I didn't know it was like, I figured it would be a little bit, not that it would be enough for you to do that much customization.
They showed you all these ship designs and they're just wacky. And that's all cool. It's like, it's literally function over form.
Yeah.
So you got your cargo bay and how big do you want your cargo bay to be? And if you want a great big cargo bay, it's literally a great big box somewhere on your ship.
You got to find
there's this great big box.
It.
It's the cargo bay.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. They have to like, if you want a big cargo bay, that's fine, but you have to like build around it to make it happen and stuff. I wonder if there'll be, do you know if there's any like, here I am asking questions about things that I probably shouldn't be asking, but like, is there any, you know, if you got a bigger cargo bay, that carries more cargo. Does that affect your ship's performance?
Or no idea.
The Optimus Prime ship.
The Optimus Prime ship had clearly landed on the planet.
And
there is no way that was atmospherically stable in Optimus Prime ship. So I don't think there's anything like
that. You take that back. Optimus Prime can do whatever the hell Optimus Prime wants. Right. Okay. Okay. Cool.
And the other thing is poor Keanu Reeves when he's talking about Cyberpunk.
Why poor Keanu?
Cholon Idris Elba.
A colon injury as well. Yeah, because he's the new.
He's the new voice.
New guy. Yeah.
I felt kind of awkward watching poor Keanu try and sell this
thing.
I'm so excited, guys. It's just going to be so great. And working with Ildris was just so amazing. Of course, you can't see the movements that I'm doing,
which is what
Keanu was doing. Doesn't podcast well. But
he's a bit awkward anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's sort of his.
Because he didn't look like he was acting and he didn't look like he was being genuine.
Yeah.
So it really... It didn't work for me. He wasn't believable.
Yeah.
It felt like to me he was trying to sell a used car.
I got the impression when I watched him promote the game in the first
initially, was
that he's not a gamer.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit abstract for him. He was the way he sort of described and talked about it was very much like he was reading marketing copy.
Yeah.
Not that he'd seen what they were doing and was speaking from an experience of understanding kind of thing. So that may be where that still is, you know.
He's a car salesman who's never driven a car in their life.
Yeah. Like obviously he's very passionate about like the role that he did and he really enjoyed it and stuff. And I think maybe he's a little bit taken aback by the intensity of the gaming crowd. Cause I read that whole breathtaking scene, like someone goes out, you're like, "You're breathtaking." And he was like, "What?" And then the roar of the crowd when he came out on stage, like he wasn't expecting that because when you do movies, where do they ever do that? Never kind of thing. They never get that one-to-one direct contact with fans like that unless it's like at a movie reel kind of thing.
And the Star Trek conventions, that's what they all say.
Babylon
5 guys, the Blake 7 guys, they'll say, "It's just amazing what the fans are like at these conventions. It's not like anything else I've done as an actor."
They all do
say that.
I think that was Keanu Reeves' moment of like getting that one-to-one contact, you know, because really he hasn't done any like Marvel movies or anything like that would justify a con. He's too big for that kind of stuff anyway, probably. He's already past that part of his career kind of thing. Still, I'm interested in it. I've heard a little bit of the story beats, you know, that it's there's someone's promising a cure, which is interesting. So, and I've heard that they've obviously done it
after the main story.
No, I think it's still
just before you make your final decision.
You can kind of do it. They've kind of slotted it in. And I think they're done, from what I've heard, big redos on skill trees, point distribution, pacing. Okay. Like this is like a
whole new game
because it's probably going to be the exact same story and quests and all that kind of stuff. But at least a full overhaul of like everything, looking at it from scratch again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Pavel, the quest director, does a lot of Twitch streaming, so I've seen him talk a little bit about some of the things they did right and they didn't do right and all that kind of stuff in it, kind of thing. So I think they've been very receptive.
Yeah.
Well, it seems anyway about what didn't go right for them, what they didn't.
Did you ever do the porn snuff video quest where you bust in on the two guys? I think it's a father and a son. That's just creepy.
Everyone talks
done really well, but it's just so creepy.
I've seen that pop up on the Cyberpunk subreddit quite a few times. Like people must get to it and they want to post about it, kind of thing. It's so impactful. Who did you let live? What did you do? How did you take care of it? A lot of people the popular option was definitely kill the son in front of the father and then kill the father.
Oh, okay.
Just to maximize suffering, kind of thing. I'm like, all right, fair enough. Yep. I definitely didn't let them walk out of there. I don't remember what I did. Yeah, they definitely didn't.
I let them walk out of there.
Yeah?
Because there's two that are very similar. I'm wondering if you're getting the one where you're in the studio and there's literally the dead girls and the dead boys in the other room, which you don't find out until after you've had to make the decision.
Yeah.
There's that one.
Yeah.
But that was much more gang-related kind of point.
Yeah. Here.
This is the one where it's just cargo containers.
Oh.
And they're actually making... They're just editing the snuff videos and stuff, like snuff porn. They're not actually filming it. They're not actually creating the content. Oh. They're just distributing and editing. And so you got this real moral quandary that what they're doing is wrong and is keeping the really bad guys making this stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
So they offer to give you all their money. They really throw themselves at your mercy.
I don't remember that one. That's
and you can just crash their server, or you can kill them, or you get a lot of choices of what you can do.
Oh, interesting.
And you can do stuff without them even knowing you've been there, which I thought was really interesting, because they're having a whole conversation in their studio while you're sneaking around.
Yeah.
Having this whole – so that was what got me. So I listened to the conversation, and they're clearly not evil.
Yep.
And they clearly want to, they've got addicted to the amount of money that they're making from it.
Yeah, right.
So that made it, you know, what they're doing is wrong, and they know what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really tough
moral one. Quandary,
yeah,
that's really what that one. Game is.
So I just crashed all their servers and just took all their money from them and just let them deal with the repercussions themselves.
Yeah, okay.
Which is probably the same as if I'd killed them anyway, because of course the big gangs are going to say, where's our content?
Yeah, I don't know. Boom, boom, boom. Bottom of the lake, tying up loose ends.
Yeah. Yeah, so they did.
I'm really looking forward to going back in again, because I think I've forgotten quite a bit of those quests, because I may remember that, but I, you know, it was a while ago now.
About 2 years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's been a long time. I mean, like, this whole DLC was supposed to be quick.
6 months later.
You know, kind of thing, and they've definitely taken their time.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this release will be good. The new path tracing stuff they've added to the game apparently is just insane. One of my mates has got a 4080 card, and it just flatlines it.
Oh, really?
Just because it's so intense kind of thing. Yeah, they're really up the tech base on it too, which is, well, I guess that's fine, as long as they've optimized for playing consoles this time so it doesn't get a negative off the front kind of thing. Yeah. We'll see, though. Looking forward to those.
Yeah.
On the list. Yeah. Tick them away. In the meantime, though, we've got to keep ourselves amused.
We do.
What have you been playing?
I've got an old that's new again game. I've been playing Fantasy General 2. Which is a sequel to, you probably never played them, SSI, Strategic Simulations Incorporated. They did Panzer General, was I think what started it all.
Okay.
They did a whole lot. They did a Warhammer 40,000 one, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
It was hex-based, and you went from mission to mission on your hex-based grid.
Okay.
And you had factions, and you could carry over units.
Yep.
So the units that you carried over could get really, really powerful.
Yeah.
And they've now made Fantasy General 2, which is a follow-on from Fantasy General 1. Still hex-based, but now instead of sideways hexes on a 2D map, it's top-down 3D, 3D hexes.
Yep.
But so the demo is available, and if you've got any interest in this game at all, I would say definitely play the demo, and you don't need to buy the game. So the demo is a very good taster of what the game is like. And I thought, I'll buy the game so I'll get all the factions and I'll get all the campaigns and I'll get all the storylines. No, that's not, doesn't actually seem to be what the case is. You get the Barbarian campaign.
Oh.
But then if you want the other campaigns, they're DLC.
Oh.
So that's a bit sneaky. But the Barbarian campaign in the full game is much, much longer than the campaign in the demo.
Yeah.
So I played the demo for about 32 hours, I think.
That's a massive
for
demo.
For a free game. I played through every character and I played through every option. So, yeah, I thoroughly played through the demo. But for a free game, that's really good return on investment for nothing.
Yeah.
But it really does give you an idea of the game is exactly what you think after having played the demo. And, the start of the Barbarian campaign is very, very similar to the demo. So, you really, the demo is really good at showing you what the game is like.
Yeah, that's all.
So, I like it. It's demos are rare. I love continuing units. And you got armor, weapons, and magic. You need to stockpile them from finding them in caches and stuff. They would upgrade your units. So I really want some of the magic units, but I'm not finding any magic orbs. So I can't upgrade my units to the magic units. So then I've got the quandary. Do I bite the bullet and upgrade them using the weapons and armors up the other tree? Because you can't go backwards once you've gone up the tree. You can't come back down the tree. So then do I upgrade the unit? Then when I do get the magic items, I have to create a whole brand new unit and level it up to get it up there.
So I've
decided I have bitten the bullet and I've got a couple of units just sitting below the final choice.
Yep.
So I can progress them up the magic tree if I ever do get enough mana balls.
Oh, gotta get those mana balls.
The story's pretty basic, but the heroes are good.
Yep.
The units are the units are really well thought out.
So did you buy this or you just...
Yeah, it was on sale in the Steam sale.
Okay.
So it met my criteria. It didn't meet my criteria of $10 or less, but it met my criteria of 75% off or more for a game that I really wanted.
Oh, okay. So, second rule, that's a good rule. 75% is a good deal.
I got $28 bucks.
That's not bad. $28 is...
No, it's good for a game that I really wanted.
Cool.
I did think I was getting all the content, but the Empire campaign is an add-on.
I really wish Steam did a better job. I don't know about the other console stores, but I really find that DLC and the different packages just isn't the UI for it isn't very good. I always find it really hard to know if you what you're buying, which bits does or does not include, kind of thing. Like you know, like, and it's just anyway. This is a small rant about like UI design is terrible.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah.
So yeah, I really love the old SSR games. I would actually like this game even more.
Yeah.
If it was just a modernized version of the old SSI game. But it's not. They've tweaked it and it looks different and it's got some different mechanics which make it a bit more complicated. So they've definitely updated it for a modern audience rather than
which makes sense. You've got to keep it going.
Yeah. Ooh. Good but not great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's fine. For fans of the genre.
Yeah, 100%. Not as good as Chaos Bane, Daemon Hunter. Oh, I should ask you what you thought of that. Or have you not played it?
Something factories.
Got it for free. I don't need to play that because I got it for free. Yeah, Satisfactory's out, so I just play that.
It's on my list. Yeah, I haven't had the motivation to play it, I suppose, because I've been just doing the factory. I haven't even played Rollerdrome. How terrible is that? I went to like the quarterfinals. Oh, I'm going to be so bad at it again now because it's been so long since I've played it. This is so silly. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, I wanted to ask you about, did you beat it? Have you beaten it yet? Or are you still working your way through?
It's a massive campaign. It's a much longer campaign than I was expecting.
Yeah, so if you got 30 bucks out of the demo, 30 hours out of the demo, this game's going to take long.
I'm up to mission 15, I think.
Yeah, okay.
The missions are reasonably well lengthed. Like you're just starting to get a bit annoyed and you finish it.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yep.
So it's the same thing. They've got bases, so you need to make the decision, do I divide my forces to finish it quicker and therefore get more rewards at the end of the mission? But risk losing my units, or do I keep my units all together, therefore take a lot longer to finish the map, but then there's no resources left when I finish the map. Because the resources, every turn, the resources diminish.
Yep.
The resources available in the area, because you're obviously barbarians.
Yep.
You don't really farm and cultivate.
You just live off the land.
Live off the land, yeah.
Literally.
So that's an interesting mechanic.
Okay. All right.
And dividing your forces can be really brutal because it's a morale system as well. So as your units start losing morale, their combat prowess really drops. Okay. And if you don't have a morale boosting unit nearby and they keep losing or units keep getting hit near them, their morale just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. And then the magic users come in and their magic targets your morale.
Oh.
So if you've got low morale, the magic units really do a lot of damage to you. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's good. And yeah, it's not, the graphics aren't amazing, groundbreaking or anything. It's very functional. There's nothing, it's never crashed. Oh. It's never done something I wasn't expecting. Yeah. Everything is, when I make a mistake, I go, yep, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
I knew exactly that that's what was going to happen.
Oh, that's good.
So that's really good. Yeah.
It's well put together.
Solid, solidly put together.
Yeah. Yep. Excellent. That's cool. That's cool. I'm looking forward to hear how you go next week, how you progress with that one for sure. I picked up something new in the Steam sales as well, but we had an eye on for a while, and that's Starship Troopers. Probably has a byline that I didn't write down.
Sign up, citizen.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Want to know more?
That's it. Click here. Yes, that's a name. Or click here. I'm doing my part.
Yeah, I'm doing my part. That's right.
Yeah, the review section on that is just quotables.
Yeah.
All the way down. Yeah. And then people in the game as well, which is like, spouting off quotes and stuff as well, kind of thing a bit. So we played three rounds of it. It's a 16-player PvE game, you versus the bugs, as per the story. It's early access. It's a bit bare bones, but it's solid. Like the bones that are there are very well done. The guns feel really good. I played a heavy. Yeah. And so I had a normal rifle, which is a bit naff. And then I got leveled up because it's got a whole progression system where you do the class more, you level up kind of thing. I unlock more things. A lot of the things were still locked away in early access kind of things for the higher tier stuff. But I went from one gun to this other one, which was like a heavy machine gun. And I'm firing and I'm like, wow, the recoil on this is just insanity. But the heavy machine gun has this safe space you can put around yourself. It's all these like armor plates. And then your gun goes into a turret mode. And so very little recoil, and then you're just like plowing bugs no problems, yeah. You know, like it's sort of like they can't get you really because they can't get past the armor and your gun doesn't recoil and it's really powerful because it's like a submachine gun. Like it shoots how it should kind of thing. You know, the bugs feel a lot like the bugs in the movie.
Okay.
They're fast without being ridiculously fast. Yeah. They do go down pretty easy like they do in the movie as well. Yeah. If you shoot the nerve center, like they say in the movie, you don't shoot the head, you got to shoot like the... You know, the inside of the V part, you shoot in there, they get down pretty quick. But if that bug gets you, you are going down.
Yeah.
Like, they rip you apart, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, and so you've got 16 people, so it's a bit chaotic. You know, that's four squads of four for the total of people in the match. And it's a little Battlefield-y. So you sort of have... Only in the fact that, I mean, there's no opposition because the bugs are AI control, but it's sort of like you're going to land here, you need to go to the first objective and build a base. And so someone will lay down a map out for the base. They'll put down bunkers and walls and ramps and barricades, and then you can run around and build those with your build gun.
Yeah.
And so one person slapped one or two people, I guess. I never did it because it was already getting done, you know, because people had already been playing it. And then just running around just like repairing, building it up kind of thing. And as the bugs attack it, it breaks down and then you got to either repair it or rebuild it if they get through. But like they break through and you're like, oh, there's a breakthrough at the back and you got to run over there and push the bugs back and then rebuild the wall again so that you can, you know. I think the whole thing, I feel like, has a great atmosphere about it.
Yeah.
There's enough people that you can't like keep a track of what's going on.
There's
enough people to make the busy work less busy.
Yeah.
So like there's another mechanic you got to do, which is wait for a canister to refill. And then once the canister's filled, you got to take that back to your base for, I don't know, reasons. I'm sure there's a story reason and what it brought, but like the canisters, if the jetpack guy or the heavy guy, so the assault or heavy get it, they walk really slowly, but the support character can run with it. So it's sort of like slots you into little roles. The assault character has a jetpack and they can jetpack around and stuff. So, you know, the heavy goes up front, puts the safe space up, starts shooting while the support's healing them. And then the assault was bouncing around, you know, keeping distractions and moving around really quickly. Like really cool, like three-man mechanic kind of things going on. Chaotic and a great feel of like being in the movie. Like you look across the battlefield, there's explosions going off, there's people fighting bugs over there, the bugs are coming towards you over here, you're sitting on the turret firing away kind of thing. Like and then like at the end you've got to escape to the landing zone and once they've landed, if you die you can't respawn. Right, so it's kind of got this sort of like pressure, and then the bugs come in force, like just like just like the movies, there's bugs everywhere all of a sudden. So you're doing this fighting retreat back. If you get there first, you got to turn around and offer covering fire to the people that are running, still running through kind of thing. And then you got to like get all into the things, and once 16 people are into the things, the then it takes off kind of thing. So you know, it's and then the quotes start because everyone starts quoting the movie and stuff. Really, like, and that's about it, right? There's not much more to it than that at the stage. Is go forward, take a base, defend it, or go get these resources and defend while doing that. And kind of like the two mechanics that we played, kind of thing.
We're not recording.
Oh, okay. That's just a backup recording. Recording over here. So that's okay. Good. Good checking, Tony. Good checking.
Bit late, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little late, but that's okay. That's okay. Hopefully the main recording is good today. Bit of behind-the-scenes action on TLDR. So it's got a great feel. The gunplay is nice. The progression system, I don't know, it's a progression system, whatever.
Okay. Not, missions completed or bugs killed or? Or an XP system?
It's an XP system.
Okay.
I'm just trying to remember now. It gives you a bit of stats about like how many you've killed and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm not sure if the XP was on your performance, your squad performance, or just the report of everyone kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have a suspicion that it was very, like we all got the same. Okay. So I suspect that it's very squad-based. Yeah, so as long as your squad wins, everyone gets XP.
Yeah, that's good. I think prefer that.
There was no MVP. They might add some later on.
It's
like they're built this experience.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're just like, okay,
they're working out what they want to do with
what do you want to do with it? And then they go and add on. You know, there's grenades, there's some perk stuff going on that you can add to your loadout. Again, very Battlefield-y kind of thing. So, you know, different guns, and you can, you know, different pistols and stuff like that that you can unlock after more rounds and stuff. Don't regret buying it. You know, $26 or whatever it was on Steam. Feel like as long as the developer keeps going, there's a lot they could just keep.
It'll come into a good game eventually.
Yeah. They've got like all the, you know, all of the graphics from like the news reports and stuff, you know, like doing all that stuff as well, which is great. So they've like really leaned into it kind of thing.
That's good.
It was fun. It was certainly fun. I like killing bugs. They gave me the experience, feel like, of being in the movie, of being, you know, there, and that's what I was after, and that's what it delivered. So I'm pretty happy with it, kind of thing. I definitely wanted to check up back on, I don't know, in another 6 months and see what patches they come out with or not, where they just drop it like it's hot.
Oh, we made always, some money, let's forget it.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I mean, early access is one of those things, kind of thing, you know. I mean, Satisfactory is early access as well, and it's, you know, been going for quite a long time now, kind of thing, doing it, you know. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I did enjoy. Ah, killing bugs, man. Nothing better than killing bugs. No brain bugs, though. Yeah, they do have
a special
the
mission.
Yeah, that'll be great when they finally, like, go into a cave and get a brain bug. I want to do that mission 100%. So they got the usual, I don't know what the, you know, but they got like the usual bugs.
The yellow and black bugs.
The bigger yellow and black ones, they're big buggers. They got us. They just popped out of nowhere and just killed all three of us immediately. We're like, what even was
about
that?
The bomb butt bugs.
Yes, they're the with the blue.
Yeah, the big blue abdomen.
They arc artillery shells into the base. They're not probably, I think, I don't know, in the movie they were kind of like shooting spaceships.
Yeah. They shot the base as well.
They did. So maybe there's different sizes of them. Yeah. And they also have another yellow, orange and black one that shoots things at you as well, kind of thing. So it's a ranged one. There's not, wasn't too many of those kind of things.
No, they're mostly with their,
with
their claws.
Yeah.
Or whatever you call them.
Oh, a lot of that. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, super. If you wanted to be in the movie,
it's very accurate to the
feel
to
like
the
they're getting a really good job of like capturing the feel, like I just that memory of just looking out across the battlefield of the chaos, because Battlefield, I think where it differs from Battlefield, just to wrap this up, is like, in my mind, Battlefield is a lot of running through empty fields and dying from something you don't see. This is, everyone is together, right? So it's chaotic and messy.
And you know what, most of you do.
Unless it's coming from behind, but like, you know that bug is about to rip your head off, kind of thing. Like, it's very visceral kind of thing in that respect, which is great. Starship Troopers. What is something that's, I mean, it's sci-fi, but it's definitely a very, very different game than everything else we've talked about so far.
Yes, it is.
Pulsar.
The Lost Colony.
We had a good session on this with five people, so a full crew. So I feel like we gave it a good experiment as to what this game is. Overall, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
No.
I think that it's, you know, it's Star Trek, right? Take the example before, right, is Starship Troopers, right? Starship is an action movie, right? There's lots going on.
Yeah.
Star Trek is not, I mean, no matter how much they try, even with Star Trek Discovery, it's not an action genre. It's slow. Yeah, you know, it's fairly thought. They have battles, but the battles are one part of the overall thing of like what happens in it.
Yeah.
So a lot of what Pulsar is relatively slow.
Yes.
Which is challenging when, I think, like, you and Josh spent like half an hour discussing mods for the ship, which is really important. But I'm like, and then Yana's on her phone because weapons systems don't need anything when you're discussing whether or not things are better. Yeah. And I'm sure Dino was doing the same.
Yeah. Josh and I are talking about upgrading their main computer or power supply or we did have quite a conversation. What should
upgrade? So I feel like it's great. It's really cool that like you have the pilot doing piloting stuff and they interrelated with the engineer to like do things. And like, you know, you need science officer doing their bit, the captain and the weapons, like everyone has a role and all the roles are interdependent on each other. And you can sort of pick up bits and pieces. However, there's not a lot to do outside of those very specific things you're doing, and they only need to be done at very specific times. It was great that we got stuck in these more complicated battles and had to reboot the ship a couple of times and go through flicking those switches and stuff. And then when first time I did it, I was like, oh, that's really complicated. By the end of it, I was like, oh, yeah, one, two, boot this, wait for the thing, wait, prime the OS, boom, shields up. We're good to go, boys.
And I didn't understand when I said, we've got borders and they're attacking me, that you guys didn't realize that the boarding teleport was right next to my science station. I didn't realize that until right at the very end. When Josh said, where are they? I said, what do you mean, where are they? They're attacking me. What does that mean?
Where are you right now? Because you don't know where anyone else. This is probably some of the, like, you. It's very dependent on verbal communication. You have to talk.
Yeah, and of course, I didn't realize that because I'm the science officer. Yeah. I can see where everyone is at all times because I got the little dots on my screen all the time. Yeah. So you forget what you can see that the others can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like even like with like say you want to warp to a new system, right? So the captain says we're going to warp to this system. Yep. I've locked in the coordinates. Then the pilot's got to like
line it up
and lock it in, and they're going to press the button. The problem is though, I can press the button when the ship is merely grazing over another star system.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure that we are actually going to the right thing. So it becomes a bit of a, like, just like on Star Trek or like one of these ships, you know, it's like, okay, lock in a course for Corellia Station.
Yeah.
And then you go through and like, okay, the pilot's like, Corellia Station available. And then I'm like, looking at it, jumping to Corellia Station.
Engage.
And then wait to... Okay, no one said no, jump, and then hear, no, not Corellia Station, Corellia Station. Oh, too late, we're jumping out.
Yep.
That's it. You know, a lot of like, you need a lot of that verbal communication that you don't know where other people are. And when you do get in combat, it's pretty frenetic. Like the level of like between doing nothing, right? Yes. Because you're just like, there's nothing for me. Yeah. I've jumped to the new system.
There's nothing to do.
I just got to tweak some values or maybe on the engines, you know, maybe get a science officer, maybe just reset all the values back, maybe hit the jump initiation draw so we're starting to charge the core up.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm just kind of like waiting around. We get into combat and then it's on. You got to watch this. You got to make sure it's got to put the fires out. I got to go back and repair the warp core. And then, the fires are gone. Oh, no, now my screen's blown up.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Oh, it's come back and we're almost overheating. Full cooling. Turn this down. Drop power to weapons. We got no temperature left in the core. You know, like it's just on like no one's business. I think if they'd
lent in a little bit more to ship combat, and worked out a few more things for each role to do in ship combat and really lean into it, exactly like you just described, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I found I had the computer programs that I could run to do stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was really obvious when the computer program worked, like when we were being hacked and I'd run the purge virus program. That was super obvious. All of a sudden, Dino stopped complaining that he couldn't move the ship.
Yana stopped
complaining that she couldn't shoot anyone. Yeah. So it was really obvious. And then when I did disable the enemy ship ability to move, that obviously made a big difference as well because then that was so much easier to target. But a lot of the other stuff like boosting the damage and boosting the speed and tiny little tweaks and increasing our cyber defense didn't really have a lot of immediate feedback. So I don't know. And then when I ran it, I didn't realize that there was a charge limit on the computer. This is what because we played such a long session when we played that session.
Yeah.
It never occurred. It never happened to me before because we never played for long enough for me to burn all the charges off the computer.
Yeah.
But I'd burn all the charges off the computer in the early space fights, and it's only after each jump
that it recharges. That
the charges recharge, which Josh said.
Yeah.
But in my defense, Josh didn't say it the way I was. So jumping does two things to the science officer. Yep. I was aware of one of the things, and that's what Josh was saying, and I was 100% agreeing with him.
Yeah,
but not saying, but that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about this second thing, which Josh obviously knew.
Yeah,
but then as you said, it's all about communication. He wasn't communicating that back to me.
Yeah,
he was assuming I also had that bit of information, which I didn't.
Yeah,
but then because he said that, I started watching.
Yeah,
and when we did start jumping, I could see that the computer program started recharging, which then made sense why there was an order that you put the computer programs into the computer. Because you obviously want to put your most important programs in first, so they're the ones that recharge again.
Right. And then what I can do is put a pellet and manually
To
jump without actually jumping to recharge as well, kind of thing. Took me a while to work out what that button meant.
So that really tough fight we had where we were against the enemy flagship.
Yeah.
Because I'd used all the computer programs before. That's why we were really struggling at first, because I had no charges. But then the charge on the on one of the sitting duck, I think it was, program, charged up and I could run it. And then suddenly we got the upper hand over the ship and we could beat it.
Yep.
So it does that. I could see how that was impacting, that part of my role was impacting. But the scanning the ship and the locking onto the ship, I couldn't see what that was doing. If it was doing anything, I couldn't see.
Couldn't
what
tell. Doing. Yeah. And it's so frenetic that you don't really have much of it. Like, there's no chance to learn. Like, no. It's got some training stuff, but there's nothing to train with all five people into a, like a situation into where a you can simulator. Say,
and then it explains what's happening.
This is what, now you've locked on. Now the pilot has seen this and, like, you know, to sort of help everyone understand. Because I think the two, ignoring the pacing problems, I feel the pacing is sort of
way off.
It's a nature of also the type of thing that it is. Okay, that's fine. Maybe there's going to be twilight times. But there are two things that really bother me about it. One is the UI in general is very lackluster.
Yes.
All the panels are all very bland and not very descriptive of what's going on or what's happening. And I feel like if I'm in a super futuristic spaceship, I don't want to have a UI that's worse than I would get in my car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's one thing that and I love, you know, I love a computer panel.
Yeah.
I don't love any computer panels in this game, which is terrible when it's a game of using computer panels.
Yeah.
The second thing is back to like the upgrading of stuff, right? It's just tweaking with minor numbers. There's too many upgrades. There's
so much investment too.
And so much like
it's
so much
a big commitment of the resources to upgrade something. And if it turns out that your upgrade's not one you want. Yeah.
It feels like
we upgraded the turret and we put a dud gun into the turret. So that was a whole waste of our resources. Choices.
And you gotta work out if it's good or not. Like just classic example of just like, oh, let's have a whole bunch of upgrades without a whole bunch really of
systems. Let's have 17 different systems on the ship and each system's got 36 upgrades.
Yeah, let's do that. Like, and it's like, it's not really. And the problem happens is that someone needs to decide what you have and what you don't have. And it takes a lot of time to work that out. And it's not really a group. They don't offer any interface for a group activity. It's not like you can say, okay, we're going to be doing upgrades at the moment and a new screen comes up and everyone can see the upgrades and what
you
the stats are
what upgrade
and everyone can
want.
Vote on what they want and then you could like and then it would be a group activity at least or for who want to participate.
Instead of me and Josh talking just over the voice channel
and
we
really
knew what we were talking about but obviously no one else did.
And I was listening but even like the description, like there's a lot of subcomponents and weird acronyms and not like...
Yeah, and it's not clear what actually goes where.
Computer and...
Yeah, and like, what system actually goes where and whether you can install it on your ship.
Yeah.
And so the faster, that game Faster Than Light? That was much better with its upgrade. It was always clear what you were upgrading and whether you could install it.
It's easy when it's a straight path somewhat, like just the ship gets better as you find more components and you can just upgrade your ship rather than having minor differences maybe in different things.
I like the concept of having completely different types of guns and completely different types of shielding.
But when it's just numbers, when it's just like, has got slightly better this and slightly better that, it just feels like a lot of busy work that
I think if there was more depth to the game, so we got that stealth. We got a stealth component that lowered our EM profile. Now, if there was enough depth of the game that you could see the advantages of having a low EM profile and stealthing through the systems, that would make a difference. But we didn't really see the difference of having that stealth component.
And I wonder if we weren't, it's a little bit of like not playing it right, like we weren't going to the right systems or finding the right
still
missions.
Not there. There's
or
not enough
something.
Explanation.
Yeah, it's
it's literally a sandbox. Here you go. Go for it.
Yeah.
No explanation of what you should be
doing.
Can
be fun, but also a little bit. It makes the learning curve really steep.
Yes.
You know, it
and if the game was so engaging and brought you back time and time again, that would be fine.
Yep.
The game's good.
Yep.
But it's got enough hurdles that you don't necessarily want to jump
the
straight
five
back
into people it. Hurdle is already huge.
Yeah, that's already a huge hurdle.
Already, you know, kind of thing. This is just trying to get in the mindset of the developers who made this kind of thing, right? They chose to make that space station, which
is starting space station. We've got 150 people to talk to at least,
and it's
six layers.
Confusing.
And there's not a lift that takes you from layer to layer.
There's no signage. There's no anything. It's like they had this great story of like, oh, this place is higgledy-piggledy. It's like got different stratas of people living everywhere. People have like redone the sewers so they can live. Yeah. You know, all this story. But like at some point, no one said, hey, no one likes running around in a maze.
Yeah.
You know,
with no map. And no idea where they're going.
It's the future and we don't have a map of what the space is.
Only the science officer does.
Well, yeah.
That map's not great. It just shows you the dots.
Yeah, it's not really a map.
I could see the dot for the guy with the quest and I could stand 2 centimeters away from him and all I could see is solid walls. He's in that direction.
Yeah.
But I've no idea how to get to the other side of this solid wall.
Help. No, like mapping it out, and then once you've mapped it, you
can then follow it breadcrumbs
through or anything through. Like if it was, so it's sort of like, they're like, oh, let's do it because it's so lore accurate. You know, it's it's like, is that the purpose of the game, or is the purpose of the game to have fun?
Fun. Yeah,
I feel like there's a line to be drawn, and I feel this is on too much on the we want to build a Star Trek kind of simulator. Thing. I mean, it's a problem with indie games. They kind of tend to be a bit too overreachy with their stuff. I feel like a bit more narrow focus would really help this. Well,
and I think a great example of where they've really missed the mark is that quest where we had to go and test the weapons.
Oh, my God.
It's like the third quest you get on that spaceship.
That was so
It's part
hard.
Of that spaceship's quest line.
Yeah.
And you got to go to this planet and test the weapons.
Happens.
And there's 3 specific weapons that you have to test. So someone has to use each of these 3 weapons.
Yeah.
And there's 6 waves of enemies that come into an arena.
Yeah.
And there's no healing.
No.
The enemies are actually really tough.
Yeah.
And some of the gun, like the shotgun gun that I had, was utterly useless.
Pathetic. Completely. Normally when you get experimental weapons, they are really good.
They're superly overpowered.
I expected them to be so overpowered that you kind of go, oh, I really want, it gives you an aspiration to go and get that weapon later.
Yeah. But the shotgun, you chewed the ant in the face and it would knock it back. But by the time your gun's recharged, you shoot again, the ant's back in your face again. So you're actually locked in where you can never progress forward.
Yeah.
And as soon as the second ant appears, bad luck, you're dead.
Dead.
And let alone the guys that fly in space and are immune to the knockback.
Yeah.
And then when you die, you can't get back into the arena.
No.
So reading online, there's like all these ways you can cheat to beat it.
Yeah.
Such as you get the upgrade so you can automatically teleport to the science officer. And you can just give the science officer all the heal stim packs.
Yep.
And all the science officer does is avoid everything and stay alive. And everyone else teleports back to them when they die. But it's like the third or fourth mission that you get in that quest arc. And it's way too hard. I don't understand their logic.
Yeah.
And you can abandon the quest.
Yeah.
Which means you completely abandon the quest line for that ship.
Which means our save is probably a bit busted now as well after doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So all the progress we've made in the other direction is now, well, it's not pointless because we could still find the lost colony.
Yeah.
But we couldn't progress to get the extra upgrades to the Super Duper ship. I think, it needed some more thought about what is going to be a fun experience.
Not what's sort of, making a Star Trek simulator or whatever it is that we're sort of going for with this. It does, like, and to its credit, it does feel like a Star Trek. I've never felt more, in the same way that I felt like I was Johnny Rico fighting bugs in Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm Geordi LaForge on the Enterprise kind of thing, you know. I got that experience, which was amazing. And like I said, ship combat, when we got the hang of it,
it was
quite good. I really wanted to teleport over to an enemy ship and board it.
Josh and I did.
We did that. No, we did do that, didn't we?
Oh, you and me.
We
killed everyone.
Yeah, I was like, yay.
The ship was kicking our ass.
Oh, no, and then they shot the ship out of the sky and killed us while we were on the ship.
Yeah, they self-destructed. They self-destructed on us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, either our guys blew us up or they self-destructed.
I'm not sure which
one. Somehow the ship we were on blew up. But we didn't get any feedback at all. Where they're busy shooting the guys and then suddenly the screen goes black.
Like, yeah, yeah.
What just happened? Has it crashed? You're dead.
You're dead.
What?
Oh,
the ship blew up. Oh, you blew up the ship while we were still in it.
Yeah. To be fair, like, and this is a problem with like that voice comms. Like, you got to like let people know.
Yeah,
and then, like, everyone has to be able to hear what you're saying at this time and understand what it means to, like, I'm teleported to which ship did you teleport to? And, like, it's a bit kind of like,
it's almost excellent.
Yeah. Oh,
almost.
I think this style of game
concept is
I want to play it again. I would really like to try Star Trek Bridge Crew. It annoys me that
let me tell you, at a role playing convention we went to, we played this game called Bridge Crew, which was literally five computers set up on desks in the classroom in the school, and then there were three game masters on a big computer game mastering all the enemies. Oh. And it was literally exactly the same game, but it was very, very basic computer controls. Each computer had a different station.
Yep.
And you had commands. You had a whole cheat sheet of commands you could run. It was like entering code to get the commands to run. But because we were all in the same room and there was a big screen display, which was the view screen, but it was like asteroids. It was very simple line graphics of the enemy ships and stuff.
Yep.
And it was so engaging. It was super immersive. It was really good, and that it had that spirit about it, but because we weren't all in the same room, and there was obviously some confusion about what people knew and what people didn't know, that was clearly a hurdle that we hadn't even realized at first. But that experience is fantastic. And Bridge Crew, I had a very similar experience with Bridge Crew when we played that with all of us in the same room, and the chairs were set up in the physical room, so when you looked around with your VR headset on, the chair was in exactly the same space as it was in the VR world. So you knew exactly who you were looking at when you were looking at the VR characters.
I think there's a lot that can be done in this sort of
space.
Like something like this again, I feel like, you know, it could be really good. I just don't like we've spoken about what we don't like about it. I think it's really close. It is it is pretty close. There are some really
the other thing
moments.
That there's well, how many stars do you reckon there are?
Oh,
over 1,000?
Yeah, a lot.
And you don't have no idea what's on any of them. You search, I don't know if it's because we had such a basic computer that I'd search on my computer. It wouldn't tell me anything useful about the systems.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would improve if you got a better computer with a better log or whatever it was. But so literally, it looked to me like the game ultimately boils down to you go to every single dot on the star map to find the things that make your ship better. That lets you find the things that you're finding to find the lost colony.
Yeah.
To be able to go to the lost colony to be able to finish the game.
Yeah. Like, why can't you send probes off and stuff, you know, to sort of like
get information back? So, this star system has got a mining base. This star system has got a pirate cruiser.
Buy information on the black market and stuff like that about what's going on. To make like news map, updates and stuff like that.
To
like
shrink that map a little bit.
I don't know.
We must have gone to 30 systems at least. And we felt like we hadn't even started the game.
We
committed 3 hours at least.
And I wonder if we were missing stuff because we didn't know what system to interact with what thing to maybe make it better. Like if there was something to be done there. Not sure. It's a bit, and again, because you've got five people on
and
it.
And each
as
person
well.
Has a very different role.
Yeah.
So I would be scanning, I'd be pinging my science ping on the meteor, and suddenly we'd warp out of the system. And I go, oh, well, I don't know if that meteor had something on it or not. But I'm assuming it didn't because pinged probably 100 meteors and two of them had something on it.
Right.
And the two that had something on it looked exactly the same as the 98 that didn't.
Low hit rate. Really, every star system should have something in it for you to do or explore or to teleport to or something in it kind of thing to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, and then it would be worthwhile exploring. As opposed to a lot of the systems we went to, we just waited for the warp engine to charge again until we could warp to the next system.
Which is just not fun.
Not particularly fun, no. And it was also confusing when there were other ships in the system, whether they were hostile and then why they were hostile, if they were hostile when they seemed to be in our faction. And yeah, it's just not quite, it's not quite a fully cooked game.
Yeah, yeah, it's not, is it? I really want it to be better.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Odd one. What an odd game. Everything about it is odd. The engine it's built in is odd. The
graphical
choices are odd, you know.
The way you actually load in and out of the game is odd.
I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing is made by one person.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
It feels like that sort of a game. It feels like it's just one person's passion project.
That's like the guy that made the life-size replica of the USS Enterprise in Minecraft.
Oh,
he actually got his own server so people couldn't destroy it.
Yeah, right.
And then built brick by brick a one-to-one scale replica from plans of the USS Enterprise in Minecraft.
Wow. I mean, if you did that with I mean, obviously you probably use creative mode, even if they did it in the tools. Because some of the people making Minecraft maps and stuff is pretty impressive and stuff like that. That's a lot of bricks. That's
a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, you know, hey, look, Roller Coaster Tycoon, made by one person. Stardew Valley.
Really?
Made by one person. Yeah, okay. Yeah, one guy made Roller Coaster Tycoon in like assembly or something like that. Wow, like that's something crazy. Yeah. So why it performed so well, even with so much going on and such old hardware back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's heaps of great games made by single devs. This feels like it might have been one person's passion project.
Overreached.
Maybe.
Just a tad.
Yeah. It depends on what they wanted. Wow. Maybe this is exactly what they wanted. Maybe they wanted all this stuff.
Yeah, this chaosness.
Yeah.
This looseness and chaosness.
Yeah. I do feel it's got a little bit of No Man's Sky's, you know, mile wide, inch deep.
Yes.
Kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might get another crew together to go again. It's just hard getting five people together at the same time, to go and do it sort of thing. We might giving it one more crack now that we're kind of more experienced.
Yeah, which we only did much better in our longer session than we did in the previous two. We had two sessions
before. Just trying to get all the bits. You really do need five people, though.
Yeah.
It's not really playable with anything less. The AI is not good enough.
No, to do
the roles or anything.
No.
Yeah.
And you already have automatic firing guns on your ship, and it's still really hard to defeat an enemy ship.
Yeah, you still really need to use the main guns. The gun really needs to be there. And shooting them is not necessarily easy either. Like, there's a bit in terms of like the mechanics of shooting, you've got these concentric rings you need to like line up.
Yeah.
And then the gun doesn't fire immediately. You need to track the shit while you might be moving and it's moving to get the hit on. And then while that's recharging, then you've got to fire the rockets and then flip backwards and forwards and keep this going while you're,
The handy tip for the pilot says, and try and take all your hits on your underbelly.
Oh,
okay, so I'm going to line up the guns to shoot, and then while it's got missiles incoming, I'm going to suddenly rotate so that the missiles hit us on the underbelly.
Yeah.
No, there's not enough control to do that. Yeah. Sorry.
And then what was weird too is like the way the guns are positioned on this ship, at least anyway, they're very top focused, not front focused.
Yeah, yeah.
But the view when you're a pilot is like a car kind of thing, where you really need to like go to the enemy and then show them your top so that the guns have the biggest range to shoot and stuff, which is a bit odd as well. I mean, it makes sense, but I think that's what maybe what annoys me the most about it is that they didn't go the whole hog of making realistic space combat kind of thing. Gravity's just ignored. Kind of thing. The way the ship works is all, I guess, Star Trek-y kind of thing, Star Trek, Star Wars-y, not like realistic but like everything else is very.
The other thing with them is that they've got targeting computers.
Yeah.
The targeting computer locks onto the enemy ship.
Yeah.
And then the guns just track that enemy ship no matter where it goes.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just, we've got no target locking system at all.
Which is probably, it's probably, that's probably a gameplay thing, I suppose. Otherwise, you just lock on the ships and fire and that's it kind of thing.
Yeah, they could have come up with a whole bunch of mini-games and each
true
position has a different mini-game, and how well you play the mini-game depends on what your result
fires and things.
As opposed to just pressing a button.
Yeah.
Like my scanning the thing is literally just press the scan and wait 3 seconds while the bar fills up and then it'll tell me what I get.
Yeah, true.
But then I'm still not clear, even though when I find out how many crew are on board and what energy powers it, I'm not sure what I can do useful with all that information. And I can tell it, the thing that I thought was very amusing was there's six or eight different systems that you can tell the computer that this is what you want to target on the enemy ship for the next 30 seconds. You get it like one or two shots off in 30 seconds.
Yeah. So
it's next to pointless.
Yes.
Very strange.
Very strange. What a strange game.
Yeah, it is. I really want to love it.
So do I. I feel like
it's quirky and fun and Yeah, when it shines, it does shine.
Yes.
When you had the engine room on fire and I had the guy chasing me from the side, I fire extinguished the engine room and then the guy got killed by Josh coming down the other gangplank.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all the machinery was all busted to it to repair the machinery.
It's hectic. Yeah. It is hectic. I got exploded by my console.
Yes, your console exploded.
Kind of thing. Like, that's like classic sort of Star Trek shenanigans kind of thing, you know. Then run back and get it back up and going, like, oh, my God, is the engine overheating? What's going on? And if you don't have any cooling, then you can't cool your core down kind of thing.
You never got to eject the core either.
I kind of just go load up and play just so I can go and eject the core and see what happens.
Yeah.
I was so tempted just to do it just to see what would happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think a tighter upgrade path. So come up with a plan for each individual ship and have upgrade paths just for those ships and maybe two or three alternate components for something.
Yeah.
So, like, you can have a stealth ship.
Yeah.
But then there can be an alternate component that turns into a super armored ship rather than a stealth ship or something like that. Rather than all these different components, all these, like level one military grade, level two military grade, level three military grade, level four military grade, and then there's level one civilian grade, level two civilian. Well, okay, so is a level three civilian grade component better than a level one military grade
computer? And you have it all, and it's a whole thing then, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's too much investment.
Yeah,
for this but sort not of enough game reward for it, you know, like
to do an extra 2% damage.
No, not worth it. Not meaningful.
No.
Enough to justify the time and investment. Effort for you to go and like go find that vendor randomly and wherever the hell they are on the space station. Yeah. Then look through their terrible UI at all the different things they wanted to buy, and then try to work out what might be the best bits of componentry to buy.
And then you find something that looks great and you buy it, and then you find out you can't actually install it on your ship because you don't have the right hard point for that system.
It's the sort of system that'd be better off just having a flat, you get upgrade components.
Yeah.
And then you just push,
upgrade. Which system do you want to spend them on?
More energy, more guns, more shields. Yeah. Which one do you want to spend your components on? You know, maybe a few subsystems, you know, that you can spend points on, like more like a talent tree, but you got to go and collect. You know, destroy a ship, you get six salvage components, and that breaks down into four tech modules that you can upgrade on, you know, like sort of...
The onboard auto fire extinguisher, for example.
Yeah.
That kicks in as soon as you get a fire, it kicks in and starts putting the fires out by itself. Stuff like that. Yeah. Or a repair robot that runs around and repairs the broken things. Or security drones that run around inside your ship and take out the enemy. So all these ideas that they could have added that would have made the upgrading actually fun.
Yeah,
as opposed to
just like a very generic, like, you know, I think it's kind of not lazy, but like it's very done. Like, oh, let's have 70 different components that you can slot in. Like, it's sort of not new or interesting. It's just a lazy way of adding. Yeah. I don't want to say lazy, but like pretty basic way of adding and upgrading and stuff.
When you could look at Faster Than Light as a great example of how you can make upgrading your ship really fun,
because there's only a couple of It's only like you've only got scrap that you can spend, and that's sort of, it's not like, it's pretty like linear, isn't it?
Yeah. You got to collect scrap
to
spend to upgrade all your components, and everything gets upgraded with scrap.
Yeah.
There's a universal currency to upgrade everything.
Yeah.
You just got to find this stuff.
Yeah. Which is always a challenge. Yeah.
You can find full bits of kit just floating around in space or as a reward from blowing up ships, or you can find them by going to vendors and buying them with scrap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you got your ship components that get upgraded piece by piece with scrap. Yeah, it's a much better upgrading.
Much better upgrading system. I like how when you go to a repair dock to get repaired, you can't get your ship repaired until you lower the shields.
And how long did it take us to work that? You got to get inside the dock.
Yeah.
You got to ask the dock to repair you, and then you got to lower your shields. So it makes you repair your ship.
Yeah, which is cool, but that's not telegraphed at all or helped in any way, shape, or form to make it all happen kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And the repair guy says, sure, we'll repair your ship. But they don't say, we'll repair your ship. First, you've got to come inside our repair dock and turn your shields off.
Yeah.
They say, sure, we'll repair your ship.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll repair your ship. Sure, we'll repair your ship. Oh, maybe I need to fly in. Sure, we'll repair your ship, but we can't do it. Your shields are up.
And then you're like, Luke, turn the shields off, turn the shields off. Yeah, turn the shield. I'm like, what? Turn the shields off? Why am I doing? We're in a repair dock. Turn the shields off. Fine, okay, I'm going to put the switch. Dang, there you go. Oh, yeah, it's working now. It's
suddenly repairing.
Hey. Yeah. And you leave, like, turn the shields back on.
Yeah. Okay, why did we die straight away in the next fight? Oh, we forgot to turn the shields back on.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Anyway, that's Pulsar. We'll report back if we end getting another session going for that.
Yes.
Why not? I'm going to be looking out for more Star Trek knockoffs, though, in the future, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yep.
That brings us to the end of this supersized episode. We did miss last week. Do apologize. There'll be a sickness going around as it happens. But good to be back.
It is.
Chatting all the things. Look forward to speaking to you all next week. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.